The Lord hath sent redemption to his people. With him is plentiful redemption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, perhaps, the tenuous link between our Saint Nicholas, Bishop of Myra in Asia Minor in the 4th century, the beloved patron saint of children and of sailors and of pawnbrokers and of so many other intentions, and their Santa Claus, who's a patron saint of Christmas as a myth and of Christmas as commerce, which is very real. Our Saint Nicholas suffered for the faith under the pagans at the end of the persecutions, and then suffered, I think, even more to see Christians rise up who denied the divinity of Christ. So strong was his faith and his outrage at that heresy that at the great meeting of the bishops, the Council of Nicaea, they say he actually walked up to Arius, the founder of that heresy, and smacked him in the face. But so gentle and tender and considerate his charity to the poor, that having heard of three girls who were in danger of being put to a shameful life because their father was desperate in his poverty, he went to secretly relieve their poverty at night by throwing on three successive nights a little bag of gold through the window for a dowry for the three girls so they could marry. And that is the beginning of the story, of course. Saint Nicholas worked so many miracles, condemned men and sailors, he saved schoolboys from death, that he became so beloved that even some Protestants at the revolt, 16th century, couldn't bring themselves to give up St. Nicholas. They gave up everything else, but not St. Nicholas. And when they came from Holland to the New World, to New York, what is New York today, they brought him with them. It was another Protestant Episcopalian minister, who of course popularized St. Nicholas as he paganized him, mixing elements of the saint with elements of the Norse god Thor. And behold, he morphed into the modern Santa Claus. A recent hymn, I think, expresses our feelings very well. O blessed Nicholas, O good Saint Nicholas, the real Saint Nick, no Santa Claus we need. He is the only one the folk agreed, from Myra Bari, a true saint indeed. Now, I mention Saint Nicholas not only for the unworthy use that is made of him for this modern myth of Christmas, but also for his patronage of pawn shops, which used to bear his symbol, three gold balls, over their door. I say used to because the symbol and the reality of pawn shops, that's pretty much gone today. Oh, I imagine if you visit a big city on the East Coast, you might find some. And I remember, as a young priest, going to, on my missionary travels, visiting sometimes the dying downtown of some old Midwestern city, and there you would find a pawn shop. And it would be filled with jewelry and watches and cameras and the odd fur coat or guitar. People's dreams didn't quite work out. Anything of value which was left as security in exchange for a loan of money. And you got a ticket. And when and if you could, you paid back the loan. And of course, usury, you paid a high amount of interest. But then you could redeem your property. The saints used to do this. Saint Alphonsus Liguori, St. Pius X, St. Thomas Villanova, very often these saints would hock the bishop's ring for one good deed as another. Indeed, for many bishops, the pawn shop became a way to raise money. I mentioned to the people last night, we mustn't tell Father Chicada that, because I don't want to lose my bishop's ring and the fundraiser cause. But that's what was done in the old days. Some people would go back and forth as these bishops on a fairly regular basis. And sometimes their treasure would be their own, and sometimes not. There are souls who do the same thing. Their souls are not their own. They've pawned them for perhaps a moment's pleasure, a little money, some grab at a chance of happiness, or maybe just to seal the bitter sorrow of despair in their own soul. And they've given away their soul to Satan, who operates his pawn shop, and it's always open for business. Now and again, Christmas is a popular time for this, they'll report, to the door of a pawn shop, behind its security grating, and get their goods back. And now and again, Catholics will report to the grill of the confessional, which has its own kind of security grating for anonymity, for privacy. And there, in the dark booth, they will conduct their little business, paying with the coin of contrition, the promise of amendment, and then at the end, spilling out some of the small change of Our Fathers and Hail Marys by way of a penance. This buying back peace of conscience and peace for Christmas redeems their innocence for a while, their souls. Now, theoretically, every item in an old-fashioned pawn shop is waiting to be bought back, to be redeemed. But if it is not, it is disposed of in a general auction, which is not unlike the general judgment. But first, the owner must be warned and given a chance to salvage his goods. So too with souls. Souls sold for a time to Satan for sin, they receive their warning. Redemption is nigh might come through on the text messaging for somebody's cell, which is always at his side. Or death, which is quite up to date, you know, and wouldn't go anywhere without his BlackBerry firmly in hand, may just walk away with someone today with whom you were only texting yesterday. But what would a warning avail if your pockets are empty? And there was no money to take out of the cash machine at some convenient location. We realize we do not have the means to redeem this soul of ours, which we have traded so often, like stock shares, like a commodity. Now, this is the point in the sermon when some of you may be starting to feel a little bit guilty. And that's good, because we are in church after all. But the interesting thing to say at this point is that even the good come up short here. Someone who's in church not just Christmas morning, but every Sunday morning, or even during the week, and is all the time praying, could not pay one penny towards his own redemption. We all of us line up empty-handed at this counter. But look, he comes. down into our shop, some dingy downtown, some dusty den of commerce and trade, where souls are exchanged and lost daily. He comes from the merciful love of God. And he walks towards us. Walks, he crawls, because he is only a baby. He crawls, too, the mystics say, for those last few feet on Calvary to get to his cross. The only Son of God, whose name means Redeemer, the divine child who is born in absolute poverty, he comes to the counter. He comes to the cross to buy us back, every one of us. And he counts not the cost of our redemption. Judas Iscariot asked the Jews cynically, "How much? How much will you pay me for a God?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver and no more. Had the eternal Father ever asked his Son, "How much for man? How much will you pay to redeem him?" Our Savior would have answered, "I will give every drop of my blood." And he did pour out his precious blood for Jew and Gentile alike, like rubies on the counter of a jeweler's shop. And now, through this redemptive blood, and think of it, the same blood is shed on these altars this morning at all of the holy masses that will be offered here. By means of this blood, the sinner, let's make it personal, I will receive grace of true sorrow and the purpose of amendment, because he pays the price for my sins. To buy me back, to redeem me again from Satan. Do you see why the Holy Mass has to be offered again and again? And we must assist at it as often as we can. Shall we go on? Shall we go on selling our soul and our Savior too over the counter of sin for some miserable 30 coins of silver? No wonder so many make a myth of Jesus Christ. They make our Lord a kind of Santa Claus who comes down our chimney at just the right time, and he leaves his gifts of good feelings and religious sentiment, and then, lest he should get in the way, up the chimney he goes in a twinkle, and he's gone for another year. It's far easier to live that way than to know that you walk away having left your soul, that which is you, for all eternity. You have left it with Satan for storage, and all you have to show for it is some grubby stub of a ticket to remind you what you've lost. But this is the day of the redemption. This is the day for the real Saint Nicholas, who redeemed 3 girls and saved 2 boys' lives, and the day for the real Redeemer, who came to buy back all the world. You may think that you have bought everything you need to, and that the gifts were all under the tree last night in order for Christmas. But I bet some of you may have forgotten what you need to buy back, to redeem. There is an immortal soul waiting in some dusty, dark storage locker of the devil, waiting to be redeemed. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.